Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
Paul says, I focus on this one thing. I forget the past and I look forward to what lies ahead. Matthew 6 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Take no thought for tomorrow, sufficient today is the evil thereof. God wants us to live in the now. He doesn't want to live us in the past and he doesn't want us to worry about the future. In fact, he says that there's enough issues for today without having to worry about what's gone or what's ahead. However, sometimes I think it is good to do a stock take. Have a look at our lives. Have a look back at the track that we've walked. Have a look at the path that we've meandered on. See what ground that we've taken. For those that have been coming to my Sunday night messages, you know I've been preaching out of and into the victories that I've had over my life. At the start of the year, we talked and suggested that we might look at the theme, redigging old wells, making certain that we don't allow those wells that have been silted up over time to be robbing us from enjoying the fruit of what has gone before. And I know we don't speak about it often, but that's what my mind has been working on as I've been looking at all the messages that God has been giving to me to do. I don't program my messages, I seek God and that's how I get them. But as I look at them, I'm redigging some of my old wells. I'm looking at some of the things that God has done in my life. And the way I'm working for our church is that I'm sharing them so that you will understand the journey I've been on and you will know that you can also have the victory that God has given to me. So this morning, this message comes out of another one of those victories, another one of those putting my feet on some of the bits of ground that I needed to grab, out of facing some of the giants that I've had to face. And as I think about it, this is probably one of the major giants, one of the biggest giants of my life. As I've been saying on a Sunday night, do you know what God's passion is? God's passion is summed up in my passion, or my passion is summed up in his passion would probably be better, I think. That is to see spiritual people, or see people enjoying God's abundant blessing in every area of their life, whether it be spiritual, whether it be in their health, or whether it be practical. Now, I know that over the years you've heard a lot of the Graham Nelson story, but to help lay a foundation this morning, let me give you again just a quick thumbnail, as it's good to know the processes of God. How many people think that I'm a free person, would see me as a free person, victorious? Now, be honest. Oh, that's great. 3 feet, four. That's wonderful. It's a great thing. Well, I wasn't always that free. So for those of you that think I'm still bound, thank you very much. You know it well. As I said a couple of weeks ago, I was a depressive type person, quite negative, critical. I was very insecure, and that led to me being shy and reserved. Now, how many people would think that I'm shy and reserved? I am very shy and very reserved. In fact, that's my natural bent, and if I could run to the high country and live in one of those little shacks up there, that would do me great. But isn't God interesting the way he places you? You know, I remember when Pastor Oxy first invited me to join the team. And I said, look, I'd love to do that, but I don't want to speak on the platform. In fact, I don't want to even pray in front of people. Just give me an office, give me a telephone, and preferably no door or window so I don't have to see anybody. And the first week, in Pastor Oxy's wisdom, Graham, would you come up and pray, please? I nearly wet my pants. As with most people who are insecure, you would have been like me, worried about doing something wrong or getting into trouble. It's amazing as you go on, you learn Christian words that you can apply to all of these things that we had. But the truth of the matter is that I feared man. I fear that I would say something or do something that was wrong, or that I would get into trouble, or that I needed to make myself out to be good so that they would like me. Insecurity was the root, though, not the fear of man. It was insecurity. In fact, I think insecurity is the root of a lot of people's problems. If I saw a policeman or a police car, I'd feel I'd done something wrong. If my dad, and I have three people in my life who have caused me great pain, but on the same token caused me great joy. My dad, an authority figure in my life. Pastor Oxley, authority figure. You see how I even said Pastor Oxley then? Authority figure in my life, and God, Heavenly Father, authority figure in my life. I was always worried about those three guys. So if I saw a policeman, I was worried. If Pastor Oxley called me to the office, I was worried. If my dad came in with a long face, I started to think of what excuses I could make for the things I'd done or hadn't done. Now, I have to admit that there were many a time that I had done what I got into trouble for. I haven't got time to tell you some of those stories, but I gave my dad a bit of stick, I can tell you. He gave me a bit of stick too, I can tell you. I literally spent my life justifying and making excuses to make myself feel better. As I look back, though, I see how much has changed in my life. I can't thank God enough for delivering me from the debilitating disease or weakness or spirit or whatever you might like to call it that insecurity brought in my life. It was only recently in reading Psalm 139 that God showed me once again how free and how secure I've become. I'm going to read Psalm 139 out of the Message version. Can you put that up, please? You got the first slide up? Thank you. I want to read it out of the Message version. It's not something that we should study out of, but it's a great version to read if you want to just get something and get the nub of it. Let me read it to you. This is Psalm 139. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you. Even from a distance, you know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I'm never out of your sight. You know everything before I'm going to say it, before I even start the first sentence. I look behind me and you're there. Then up ahead, you're there too. Your reassuring presence, coming and going. This is too much, too wonderful. I can't take it all in. Is there any place I can go to avoid your spirit, to be out of your sight? If I climb to the sky, you're there. If I go underground, you're there. If I flew on morning's wings to the far western horizons, you would find me in a minute. You are already there waiting. Then I said to myself, oh, he even sees me in the dark. At night, I'm immersed in the light. It's a fact that darkness isn't dark to you. Night and day, darkness and light, they're all the same to you. For an insecure person, these verses can be quite confronting because you can't hide from God. God knows everything. And for an insecure person, that puts you and God on the opposite end of the stick. You don't want to be near God because you know that he can see and know everything. Scripture then goes on to say, oh yes, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. I thank you, high God, you're breathtaking. Body and soul, I am marvelously made. I worship in adoration. What a creation. You know me inside out. You know every bone in my body. You know exactly how I was made bit by bit. How I was sculpted from nothing into something. Like an open book, you watch me grow from conception to birth. All the stages of my life were spread out before you. The days of my life all prepared before I'd even lived one of them. Your thoughts, how rare, how beautiful. God, I'll never comprehend them. I couldn't even begin to count them any more than I could count the sand of the sea. I don't know how anybody can think that we came from pond slime. God has a plan and a purpose for every one of us. That plan is to see us enjoying his abundant blessing in all areas of our lives, spiritual, in our health, in our physical being. And again, we only have to look at little Audrey's life today just to look at the beauty of that. Finally, Psalm 39 ends with, let me rise in the morning and live always with you. And please, God, do away with wickedness for good. And you murderers, out of here. All the men and women who belittle you, God, infatuated with cheap God imitations, see how I hate those who hate you, O God. See how I loathe all this goodness or godliness or godless arrogance. I hate it with pure, unadulterated hatred. Your enemies are my enemies. We're not to get sucked in to accepting the wickedness that we see in the world today. We need to hate wickedness as God hates wickedness. We need to pray that God would have his way. And then finally, David says, investigate my life, O God. Find out everything about me. Cross-examine me and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm on about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong, God. Then guide me on the road to eternal life. As with so much of the Bible, we can use different passages for many different purposes. And in Psalm 139, we can do the same. I have used it in many ways to minister to many people. But as I read it this time, I saw it as a psalm showing the relationship and the intimacy that David had with God. I find it interesting that God led Chris Blacker last week to bring his beautiful table onto the platform and to speak about relationship, to speak about those four legs that hold up that relationship. God might be talking to us, mightn't he? It was this thought of relationship, it was this thought of intimacy that made me start to think about my own life and my own relationship and the security that I had with God. If you think about it, David would have had to feel pretty secure in his relationship with God. Otherwise, he wouldn't be saying to God, investigate me, find out everything about me, cross-examine me, test me, get a clear picture of what I'm on about, particularly seeing that he's already articulated so beautifully how much God already knows about him and what already God sees, especially considering he already knows that he can't escape from God no matter what it is. And I watch people often. They start to get tested or tried. They start to come under a little burden and the first thing they want to do is escape. Guess what? God's still there. The problems don't go away when we try to escape. And so I started to think about David asking God to examine him and check him out. And I thought to myself, would I be happy to have God check me out right now? It was that question that I pondered on that made me realize how free and secure I'd become. Because there would have been a time that I would not have liked God to check me out, or I wouldn't have been happy to give him permission to check me out, because I would have been worried about what he would have found. I remember coming to church often, we'd have a prophetic person come and I used to make certain I didn't eyeball them just in case they could see something in my life and then they would spurt it out in front of everybody. That's what insecurity does. To my surprise, I found myself saying, God, check me out. Not that he wouldn't find plenty of stuff. He would. He would find plenty of stuff. But out of relationship and intimacy, when you know that somebody loves you, you don't mind them finding something out. I was not afraid of God anymore, not fearful of his authority structure. I knew and I know he loves me, but it's one thing to know it and it's another thing to practice it. I realized that that security that I now have is a miracle for me. And a major miracle, an incredible miracle. To me, it's like wearing a life jacket. It's like floating down one of God's rivers. I don't have to worry about drowning. I don't have to worry about anything. I can just enjoy the ride, whether it's got rapids or whether it's got little eddies or whether it's fast or whether it's slow. It makes no difference. You see, I know that God loves me. I know he wants to see Graham Nelson enjoying his blessing, his abundant blessing, his blessing to the full. He wants me to enjoy that blessing in every area of my life. And when you know that somebody loves you, you don't mind them checking you out. I once again realized how big that change has been in my life. So I started to ponder, what's caused that change? What is this change all about? How did it happen? When did it take place? As I started to think about it, I realized it wasn't one light bulb experience. It's been a journey. It's been a walk. And as I often say, all things work together for good. It's through the stepping stones of life, some painful, some easy, some fast, some slow, some a contradiction, but those stepping stones have all led to God making me who I am. But guess what? I'm still a work in progress. And so the stepping stone I'm on right now is a stepping stone that's going to lead me to the next one and the next one and the next one. And I hope that I will reach the ripe old age of 100 and plus and be like Pastor Oxley, just a testimony of incredibly God's grace and blessing through walking and living in a victorious life. Some of those things that I know God has done, and these are the important ones, I think. The first one was getting into the Word of God. And again, you hear me often talk about Pastor Oxley. I love him like you wouldn't believe. And I am so thankful for what he's done in my life. One of the greatest things that I gained from him back in 1974 was his passion for the Word of God. When I first started coming to this church, I was chasing Chris, and God used her to drag me here. She was coming to this wacky place. But I didn't like the singing. I didn't like the happy clappy stuff. I didn't like the speaking in tongues and the raising of hands. But I loved the teaching. I loved the Word of God. And so the first part of God working me through my insecurity was to get me into the Word of God. Light casts out darkness. Truth sets me free. Knowing that when God's Word says it, that's it. And you've heard me speak on that before. And then I sat in church numerous times listening to people talk, and one day, and I don't know why it's like this, we can sit in church, we can listen to messages, we can go to different meetings, and then one day something triggers. There was a lady called Catherine Thornton, and she was sharing her testimony. And I know I've said this before, but for no reason whatsoever, something happened. I was sitting down the front of the church at 331 Maroondah Highway, and I just started crying. And God was releasing me from insecurity. Why then, I don't know. What did she say? I couldn't tell you. All I know was that God was doing a work in me. And sometimes we do need a deliverance session in our lives, whether it be a self-deliverance or a deliverance with somebody else praying for us. It makes no difference. God can do it. And then out of that insecurity, or out of that release of insecurity, I started to walk in victory. The first part, and you've heard me talk about Pastor Oxy going away and him giving me a task to do, and me having a dialogue with God and coming home and finding that I wasn't working for Pastor Oxy, I was working for God, and that Pastor Oxy was working for God. And so we were on the same team. You know, with Pastor Oxy and with my dad and with God, the thing that I know without a shadow of a doubt is that they love me. Pastor Oxy has done so much in my life. When I came on to this job, I wasn't very good at many things. Yet Pastor Oxy obviously saw something in me. I left school at 14 and a half. I hated English. I hated anything to do with school apart from woodwork and metalwork. And so when I first came on the job, Pastor Oxy said to me, Graham, every letter that you write, I want to see it before it goes out. Have I ever told this story before? No. Yes? Well, sorry, Jill, but I'm going to say what Pastor Oxy says. I know you've heard this before, Jill, but I like saying it. And so he'd go through my letters with his red pencil and highlight the grammar and the spelling and all the other things. At the start, there was more red than anything else, but I had an aim, and that was to beat him at his own game. And so the day that I got a letter back without a red pencil on it was the day that Pastor Hal said, Graham, I don't need to see any more letters. You know, when somebody loves you like he loved me, even though it hurts, you know there's training in it. And that's how God is with us. That's how my dad was with me. And again, you know, my latter years with my dad were just brilliant because I realized he loved me. And that came from being a father myself. And so who was I working for was another way God dealt with me in regard to insecurity. And then it was my relationship with him himself. And over a number of years, he taught me to practice the presence of God. He taught me to be a participator, not a spectator. He taught me how to give and not get, how to listen and not tell, how to obey, not just ignore, and how to let go and let him have control of my life. I can now say, as much as I know Pastor Hal is a loving father to me and my dad is a loving father to me, that God is my loving father. And I can accept his love and his grace. So how did this happen? It happened through relationship and it happened through intimacy. You know, you can have a good relationship with your boss and you can have an intimate relationship with your boss without being in their pocket. We can have an intimate relationship with God even though we can't see him. We can have an intimate relationship with our parents even though as young people, we might have found it hard to start with. Because really, they love us. I became a God chaser. I started seeking God, not his benefits. I started seeking after the promiser, not just the promises. I found out that in a relationship with God, everything flowed. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added unto you. I found the Bible telling me what to do. Because of time, I'll do them real quick. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face continually. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, and seek my face. Psalm 24. God is at their side. With God's help they'll make it. This, Jacob, is what happens to God seekers. Psalm 27, verse 8. Psalm 27, verse 8. When you said, seek my face, My heart said to you, your face, Lord, will I seek. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. So I came diligently, seek your face, and I found you. I love them that love me, and those that seek me shall find me. You will seek me, and you shall find me when you seek me with all your heart. You know, when we have a relationship like David had, when we can say to God, God, search me and try me and see if there be any wicked way in me. The end of that little verse tells us why, so that you can lead me into everlasting. Grow me into that eternal being that you want of me. Psalm 32, one of my favorite scriptures, says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. You know, when somebody won't look you in the eye, there's normally something wrong. When we look into God's eye, the Bible says that he will guide us. But to look into God's eye, you've got to have a relationship with him. Psalm 91 says, he that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. What is your secret place? Where is your secret place? I realize, as I have done this sermon and as I meditated on my relationship with God, that my secret place is my intimacy and my relationship with God. And I would say the same about my secret place with Chris. It's our intimacy and it's our relationship. I'd say the same about Pastor Hal. My secret place with him is our relationship, the intimacy that we have together. It's in knowing that God loves me no matter what. This morning, I would love it if you would be able to say, God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you, even from a distance. You know what I'm thinking. God, investigate my life and find out everything about me. Cross-examine and test me. Get a clear picture of what I'm on about. See for yourself whether I've done anything wrong. Then guide me on the road to eternal life, God. This morning, I believe, because of what God put on my heart and because of what Chris shared last week, that God is trying to draw us into a closer relationship with him where we would feel secure. And so I'd like to pray for those that don't have that security that I've been sharing about, that you know that you're a work in progress, that you've listened and you've heard something, then you've said, I want that. That you've not felt good enough. And I know that not feeling good enough in front of God is a horrible thing, because we keep on allowing the enemy to rob us from moving on. Yet, when we know that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, when we know that God has showed us already how much he loves us, as we sang in that song, then you are already good enough because he bought you already. For those of you that have got self-rejection, for those that have got fear of man, I'd like to pray for you. Josh, can we sing that song, please? That last song that we sang, particularly that verse that Andy had us sing again. I'd like you all to stand, please, if you would. Let me pray for you. And then I would ask this morning, because of what we're praying about, for those of you that know that God's been talking to you this morning and you need a breakthrough in your relationship with God or with others, and you know that it's due to insecurity, I'd like you to come down the front. And the reason I'd like you to come down the front is because I know that by stepping out, you're stepping on insecurity. You're stepping on what others might think. I believe that God wants to do a work in people's lives this morning. Father, I pray that you would move by your power right now. Lord God, I don't personally feel I've done too good a job at this, but I know that you know what you want to get across. And I know that your word says that it will not return void. Father, I pray that you would move by your power over people as they're prayed for this morning, and that we would see breakthrough. We would see growth in our relationship with you. That, Lord God, that veil that the enemy puts across our eyes to blind us, that we might not see the light of your glorious gospel, Lord God, would be taken away. And that, Lord God, that there would be this morning a light shining moment in people's lives as they firstly understand how much you love them and how much you want to be able to be a part of their life. Lord God, we stand against fear. We stand against insecurity. We stand against self-rejection. We stand against those things that would cause us to not feel good enough. All guilt, all shame, all condemnation. You're blown away in the name of Jesus this morning. Lord, have your way, we pray in Jesus' lovely name. Amen.